Let us pray. Our Father, we thank thee that this is a season of peace, a season where God offers peace to mankind, not on the basis of what we have done, but on the basis of what Jesus Christ has done. And the babe in the manger is called the Prince of Peace, because he came to reconcile fallen man to a holy God. He came to bridge the gap, to be that mediator, to be that substitute, to bear the sins of the world. We thank thee that because he died and he rose again, we have peace with God through forgiveness of our sins. Bless us now as we come to thy word. Speak to each and every heart. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, we saw the video there of a very famous incident from World War I. And the truce, unfortunately, didn't last, did it? Those of us who know our history of the world wars know that it went on for another 5 years, resulting in millions of death. At the end of World War I, the historians called it the war to end all wars. Well, that was a joke, wasn't it? Because 30 years later, they had World War II. And all since then, they've been fighting and killing people all over the world. And man cannot find peace on this earth, can he? You know, since the year 3000 BC, it's been estimated by a historian that there has been 15,000 wars in this world. There has been 3.6 billion people killed in wars in this world. And to put it in context, for every 13 years of war, there's only been 1 year of peace on this earth. So this is not a peaceful place, is it? This is a place where there's bloodshed, strife, and arguments, and fightings, and jealousies going on. And man talks a lot about peace, but he never can find peace, never can solve the problem of his heart. And it's a consequence of our sin that there is no peace on this earth. And man has no peace. He has no peace with God in the vertical. He has no peace in his heart, internal. And he has no peace with his fellow man on the horizontal. And if you don't believe me, just stand for 1 hour at the void deck of your condo or HDB. And what will you hear? Strife, arguments, fightings between man and woman, man and man, woman and woman, children and parents, and it just goes on, doesn't it? Generation after generation. But this Christmas, once again, we are reminded that God sent a way for man to have true peace. Peace, firstly, with God in the vertical, then peace in the heart, internal. And then finally, peace with his fellow man on the horizontal relationship. God announced the birth of Jesus Christ. And he said through these angels, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, the night that that was announced began just like any other night in Bethlehem. The shepherds were in on the hills, taking care of their sheep, thinking that this is going to be just like every other night we've been here. Cold, hard, difficult, dangerous, boring, mundane life. An evening. And the other people in Bethlehem went to bed, thinking that the next day was going to be just like any other day. Mundane, boring, day for them. And little did they know that that night will be the night that changes the history of this world. And we're told in the story, in verse 8, there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Just doing their job. Not a very exciting job. In fact, I mentioned on Sunday, shepherds were despised by the ordinary population. If you couldn't get a proper job, you became a shepherd. They were regarded as thieves, dirty, smelly, unclean. They were not allowed to enter the temple precincts. They were regarded as the lowest of the low in Jewish society. And these men were out on the hillside, just taking care of their sheep. Suddenly, something happened. Verse 9 says, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." These men were the forgotten of Jewish society, weren't they? But they weren't forgotten by God. And God suddenly spoke to them through this angel. And the Bible says they were sore afraid. This expression in the Greek is the word mega, where we get our English words mega something, mega store, or mega stadium. It has the idea of greatness, enormous. And it says they were enormously afraid. These men were terrified. They were probably half asleep. Maybe they were thinking about what's going to happen the next day, listening out for a sound of a wolf or a bear coming to attack the sheep. And suddenly, an angel appeared. Now, I'm sure this never happened to them before. This wasn't a common occurrence. And they're terrified. They don't know what's the meaning of this. And the angel speaks and he says to them in verse 10, "Fear not. Don't be afraid." Why? He says, "I'm not here to punish you. I'm not here to attack you, judge you. In fact, I've got the very opposite task. I'm here to bless you. I'm here to give you good tidings or glad tidings of great joy. Not just for you, but for all the world. And you're the first people that God has sent to with this good news. The lowest of the low, the despised, unclean, smelly shepherds on the hills of Bethlehem." And that must have been such an amazing thing to happen to these men that night. And as the angel finished speaking to them, he says in verse 11, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." Unto you personally, he tells the angels. There's a Savior for you. Jewish society despises you. The Jewish people in the city of Jerusalem and Bethlehem, they have forgotten about you. But God hasn't forgotten. God has got good news for you. Personally, there's a Savior born for you. Someone who can deal with your sins. Now remember what I said about these shepherds. They were not allowed to come into the temple because they were unclean. They worked on the hills taking care of the lambs and the sheep. And these sheep were used in the sacrifices. So their work was used for sacrifices, but they weren't allowed to go in and participate in the sacrifices. There's an irony there. And they would have felt rejected by their society. They would have felt the pain of being regarded as the lowest of the low, the scum of the earth. And that day the angel came to them and said, "Don't be afraid anymore. You're not forgotten. You're not despised in God's eyes. In fact, God regards you so much that he sent me to tell you this on this special message, this special errand to deliver this special message that God has sent a Savior for you, every one of you. And his name is Jesus Christ the Lord. That's why it's good news for the shepherds on the hills of Bethlehem. And it's not just good news for them. They were told it will be good tidings of great joy to all people. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what your background is. What happened that night in that little town of Bethlehem is good news, great joy, glad tidings to every person in this world. And let me make it very personal. It's glad tidings, good news for you. Why is it good news for you? Because unto you also is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You see, our greatest problem as humans is not about how much money or lack of money we have. It's not about how many years we live on earth or don't live on earth. Frankly, those things mostly are out of our control anyway. Our greatest problem as humans is the problem of our sin. Dealing with a guilty conscience. Dealing with this fundamental issue at the heart of every one of us. The problem of our sin. And Jesus Christ came that day, born a king, but born as a baby. Because he came to take on human flesh in order to pay the price for human punishment, your punishment. Because the babe would one day grow up to become a man. When he became a man, he would go to the cross. And there he would lay down his life for your sin. He would take your punishment. Now, why does he have to take your punishment? Because God is a God of justice. And justice requires that if any one of us breaks God's holy law, moral law, we must be punished. That's true justice, isn't it? When a person breaks the law, there must be a punishment for breaking the law. And God has a punishment for your sin. And either you pay the price, you take the punishment, or you find a substitute to take your punishment. That's the two options. There's no third option. God doesn't have a magic wand and say, abracadabra, and the sin disappear. He won't do that. Because that would not be justice, would it? So God's justice says, either you're punished for your sin, or someone else takes your punishment. Now, there's no human on this earth can take your punishment. Because every human on this earth has their own punishment to take for their own sin. They can't be your substitute. And the only alternative is for God to send his son to be your substitute, to take your punishment, to be your savior. And that's why these shepherds who were sinners and knew they were sinners were so happy that day to receive this news that God had provided a substitute, a person to take their punishment, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And he came to be the Prince of Peace, to reconcile the shepherds to their Creator, God himself. That's why he's called the Prince of Peace. Because he comes to mend the broken relationships. As the angel announced this, suddenly we're told in verse 13, a great multitude of angels appeared. A great choir. And they began to sing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Now, the word that's translated peace means this, to join together. That's what it means. Or to mend what has been broken. That's the idea of the word peace here. Now, what needs mended? What needs joined together? First of all, the relationship between God and us has been broken, wasn't it, by our sin. And that relationship needs to be mended, rejoined. And Jesus Christ came to reconcile, to rejoin the broken relationship between God and you. But then, of course, we have the problem of a broken heart, conscience, that plagues us and accuses us of sins we have done in the past, reminds us, you shouldn't have done that. You're going to pay for that one day. And Jesus Christ comes to, first of all, mend the relationship between God and man, God and you. But then, once that relationship is mended, he mends the relationship of your broken heart, your seared and your hurt conscience. And he gives you peace in your heart. And then the third thing he will do is he will start to mend the broken relationships between you and your fellow man. Maybe it's a marriage relationship. Maybe it's a relationship with friends or neighbors or relatives. And that's why he's called the Prince of Peace, because he comes to solve those basic problems that are in your heart and your life and my life. And this announcement was made to these men, just very ordinary men, in a very ordinary place, doing a very ordinary job. You know, if I was to get a list today and say, would anybody like to volunteer to be a shepherd on the hills of Bethlehem? And the pay is 50 cents an hour. It's smelly, it's dirty, it's cold, there's no shelter from the hot sun, and there's no shelter from the cold night and the snow in the winter. And you might get attacked by wolves or wild animals. You might lose your life. There'll be very poor food quality. You won't sleep properly. And your body will be racked with all kinds of diseases and afflictions from sleeping out in the rough. How many people here would volunteer for the job? Very few. Most of us would say, no, thanks. I'll try something else. I'll go back to school, study a bit harder than take this one. This job was the lowest of the low. These men were the despised of the despised. And yet God came that night with the good news to them that the Savior of the world has come for you. He has not forgotten you. He cares about you. And maybe I'm talking to someone here today, and you think your life has gone the wrong way. And you have a problem of sin. You acknowledge that. And maybe you look at the way your life has gone and you say, no one cares about me. I'm forgotten about. I'm in a job that's going nowhere. All my dreams that I had when I was young have not materialized. My marriage, my children, my career has gone nowhere. In fact, it's falling apart. And you're saying, where can I find peace? Where can I find hope? Where can I find forgiveness? And the answer is not here in the church. This is just a place. But the answer is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is here. The babe of Bethlehem is here. And his message to you is the same. Unto you this day is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And he has come to bring peace to you, to reconcile you and God, and to bring goodwill towards all men. And guess what happened to these shepherds? And with this we'll close. Look at verse 15. After seeing all this angelic choir, And the choir, we're told, was a great multitude. Maybe there was hundreds of thousands in the choir. Can you imagine? And our choir sung pretty well today, didn't they? I have to say that. But these singers, these angelic singers, they really can sing. I mean, they had voices that were the most perfect voices in the universe. And they sung, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." And these shepherds, they could have sat back and enjoyed the concert. I mean, their life is pretty boring, isn't it? Pretty dull. They could have sat there and said, "Well, that's amazing, isn't it? I didn't expect to see that tonight. A free concert." Maybe they could have said, "Well, you know, I need to run home and tell my wife or my neighbors that I have met an angel." But look at the reaction of these shepherds. Verse 15, it says, "It came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another." They had complete unity. They understood exactly the message, but they also understood their response, what it should be to the message of the angels. And they said to one another, "Let us go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us." We must see the Savior. Now, they didn't even have an argument. They were immediately focused on this point. A few minutes before this incident, they were just half asleep, dreaming of tomorrow, what their plans were going to be. But as soon as they met the angels that night, their whole plans were changed. Their whole thoughts were changed. Their whole actions were changed. And we're told in verse 16, they came with haste. You notice how quickly they went. They didn't delay. They didn't say, "Well, let's just have a night's rest, and in the morning we'll go down and see if this is real or not." They recognized they needed to deal with this straight away. And quickly and speedily, they made their way down into the town of Bethlehem from the hills of Bethlehem. And says in verse 16, "And they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." Now, I don't know about you, but if you were on the hills of Bethlehem and suddenly you saw all these angels, and they told you that the Savior of the world had come, the Messiah, the King of Kings, you might be expecting something spectacular down in Bethlehem, wouldn't you? But when you get to Bethlehem, you find a mother and a father, simple peasants, with a little baby lying in a horse's or a cow's manger. Not very impressive. The contrast couldn't help but be noticed between the splendor and the glory and the power of these angels and the relatively insignificant sight they saw then in Bethlehem. Was their faith shaken? Did they say, "Huh, this must have been a dream. I ate too much cheese before I went to bed last night. We're hallucinating." No. These shepherds knew they had heard from God. And when they saw the baby in the manger, they didn't despise the humility of his birth. They didn't say, "Well, we're grown men. This is a baby. Who is he compared to us?" What did they do? They bowed the knee because they recognized this is the Savior. This is the King of Kings. This is Emmanuel, God with us. If you go to the City of London, to the National Gallery, there's a painting there. In fact, there's a couple of painting there, but there's one in particular by a man called Rembrandt. Rembrandt drew a picture. We put it on the screen if we have it. of these shepherds making their way from the hills of Bethlehem. And you'll notice as you look at that painting, it's a very famous painting of the shepherds, that the focus of these shepherds is not on Mary and Joseph, is it? Who are they looking at? The baby. And their faces are completely focused. Their hearts are completely united. That they're here to see and gaze upon the baby, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're told, after they had seen it in verse 17, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And verse 20, they says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. What did they do in response after they met the Savior? They immediately went out to tell others. We've met Jesus. We've met the Messiah. He has forgiven us our sins, and now our hearts are full of rejoicing. These men who had been forgotten by the religious people, the rich people, the powerful people, these men who were thrown out of the temple, were not allowed to come into the temple, went home rejoicing because now they were accepted by God. They didn't need religion. They had found a relationship with the Savior. They had met the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you know, we have come to the end of a year. A year in which, for many people, there's not been much hope, has there been? There hasn't been much peace or much happiness in this world. And as we enter 2020, maybe you're fearful about the future. Maybe you're looking to the future and saying, what's coming next? And I say to you, don't look forward in fear. Look back first in hope. Where you'll find hope, where you'll find peace, is not in looking around you. Is not looking forward to your future circumstances. But where you'll find the hope and the peace and the joy to face the future is to look back to the manger in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. As the hymn writer put it, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Philip Brooks wrote that. O little town of Bethlehem. You know, he wrote that hymn after living through the terrible Civil War in America. And he was so upset about it that his church members sent him to Israel. As he came to the little town of Bethlehem hundreds of years ago, his heart was touched as he looked back. And he sat down, he wrote that hymn, O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Are you here today without hope? Are you here today without peace in your heart? Well, I have good news for you. And I can say it no better than how those angels said it. When they told the shepherds, fear not. Don't be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day, in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. over 300 years ago. A man who had just become a Christian, found peace with God, was walking the streets of London. And he was thinking about this baby that was born in a manger on Christmas Day. As he walked the streets of London, he heard the bells ringing to welcome Christmas Day from all the churches. And he thought of this incident, of these angels announcing the birth of Jesus Christ and singing glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And he took out his pen when he went home after church service, and he wrote these words: hark, the herald angels sing glory to the newborn king. And notice what the next word said: peace on earth and mercy mild. Why is there now peace on earth? Because God and sinners are reconciled. Remember what I said to you? There's three pieces that you need to solve. Peace between God and you on the vertical. Peace in your heart, internal. And peace with your fellow man. And the last two cannot be solved until the first one is solved. Between God and sinners are reconciled. And until you have solved that problem, you'll never have peace. And until the world is full of people who have solved that problem, there'll be no peace in this world. We thank God, one day Jesus, the Prince of Peace, will return and bring all of his people, true people, home here to this earth. And there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And the Prince of Peace will reign and rule in righteousness. And then the whole world will rejoice together and sing, worthy is the Lamb who has redeemed us from every kindred, every tongue, every background, every tribe, every race, every nationality, all who are his true people. And we will sing, hark, the herald angels sing together, glory to the newborn king. Charles Wesley was right to say those things, wasn't he? God and sinners reconciled. Let us stand on this Christmas morning. We're going to sing this wonderful song together. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king.